Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Movie Files Podcast, Episode 11. I'm Jordan Rowe.
And I'm Charlie Morse.
And this week, joining us, we have a very special guest. He is half of Schmoes No. He also was a big help with the 2012 You Reviewers Awards. Please welcome Christian Harloff.
Hey, guys. All right. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks so much for doing this.
Of course.
All right. This is the Movie Files Podcast, the podcast where we review movies, talk about movie trailers and movie news and all things movies. You can find our website, moviefiles.podomatic.com, the word movie, the word files, .podomatic.com. Also, we have a Twitter account. We are at moviefilesshow, so you can get updates about upcoming episodes and when the episodes are out, things like that. Also, head over to iTunes. You can find us there and write us a review, and every time you leave us a review, we'll read it on the show, even if it's bad. So, there you go. This week we have quite a bit to get to. At the top right here, we have one of the most anticipated movies of the year from a lot of people. The Hunger Games hit theaters yesterday. I heard it was the fifth biggest opening day of all time.
Yeah, I think it was like $1 million short of beating the... actually it was $1 million short of beating Twilight, the original Twilight's whole weekend run when it made it one day.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good sign for that. I'm definitely hoping it... You know, beats Twilight overall, but that's good that it's doing that. And I heard too, it was like the seventh, I think, highest opening midnight showing, and I think it was the biggest opening midnight for an original, like a non sequel too. So
yeah,
it's
funny because I have such mixed emotions on that because I don't know if you guys know or not. I'm a pretty huge fan of the book series,
right? Yeah.
And like my emotions are mixed because I'm glad that it's making so much money, but one of the main reasons it made so much money is because of the PG-13 rating.
That's true.
And for me, I understand why it needed to be PG-13, but it because of Gary Ross's shaky cam stuff and all the stuff that was inside of it, I felt it, and you know, by trying to get away from R rating, I felt that it kind of hurt, what was so great of the book. It's not just to glorify violence, but you know, when did you guys read the book?
I've read a little of the book, but I haven't. I will after seeing the movie.
Yeah, I haven't read it either, but I'll definitely consider it because
Well, when you read the book, like there's just scenes that you know, I don't know if it's doing spoilers or not, so I won't spoil anything. But
we won't spoil anything right now, but
okay. Yeah, there's just scenes in the book that are like so emotional because of how realistic you feel that it is, and as much as I dug the movie, I just thought because of the PG-13 cutting, you lost a little bit of the realism because like I want to show that person have blood coming out of their neck, so let's just do like a kind of a quick cut that you can see on ABC or something.
Yeah. Our basic premise of the movie, for those who don't know, it's based off of a huge. I guess the third book has been released, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's a trilogy. This is the first of it. It's set in this dystopian future where there's 12 districts, and every year there's this event called the Hunger Games, where two kids from each district are sent to the capital city to fight to the death until there's one person standing at the end. The main character here is Katniss Everdeen from District 12. She volunteers as tribute when her sister Prim gets chosen, our younger sister, and kind of follows her trying to survive the games. And, I think overall I enjoyed this film quite a bit. I mean, I haven't read the full book, but I knew going in that it was going to be something better than, you know, your typical teen movie like Twilight or something like that. Because I knew there was, you know, a kind of another universe. I would classify it as like kind of a science fiction.
It's absolutely science fiction. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I knew that going in that it would be a bit more mature. And I thought that, like, as far as art direction and costume goes, I thought they really did a good job of like kind of capturing the world, and there was a really good contrast between kind of the bright and colorful capital city and the kind of the bleak inside the arena and the districts themselves.
Just depending on where it was, just the color palette and all the colors, it was like either really colorful or really gray and gritty, and I really liked that about the movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think Gary Ross and his team did a really good job setting up. And look, I'm like, Catherine Reitman and I were talking about, we're both like huge book fans, you know, the Hunger Games book fans, and the fact that because we're such hardcore fans, you're going to nitpick it a little more than, again, people like yourselves who haven't seen movies. So going into the movie, I think that had I seen, this is like one of the rare things, I think that had I seen the movie first and then read the books, I would probably have a much different take on the movie. It's a really well done movie, and I agree with you guys 100%. It looks fantastic, and there's a lot of fantastic acting in it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's a really well-made film, and yeah, I'll certainly give it that. There were a lot of really interesting choices that went into the camera work and the way it was shot. And
yeah.
Also, I want to mention the sound design was amazing.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I agree. Especially inside the arena, I thought they did a good job with like playing with the nature sounds and just a lot of silences. You know, there was a lot of just kind of moments where she's just walking through, and I think that shows, too, how good of an actress Jennifer Lawrence is. I think she carried the movie really well, and, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was really authentic. And again, I think if you can make walking through the woods just really suspenseful and intense, I think that's a really good job at acting for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, playing off that sound design thing, there's a scene like when, you know, in the beginning with the tributes when Caesar Flickerman, who's played by Stanley Tucci, is doing all the interviews. And the great thing about Katniss is that she's not this overly arrogant protagonist. She's this girl who gets scared, she gets nervous, and when she's out and she hits the stage, there's this moment with the sound where you feel like you're on stage with her, because she doesn't hear anything except like the deafening sound, and everything's just, you're kind of inside her head. And I thought that was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I agree too. I thought that was, I also want to mention, you said Stanley Tucci, I thought the supporting cast was also really good, especially him. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah. And I really liked Elizabeth Banks, and I thought she just handled that character very well.
Yeah.
She could have gone a little over the top.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely was over the top, but I can't remember the last time like Elizabeth Banks has been like really good in a movie. It's been
Man on a Ledge. I'm kidding.
that definitely was. It came to mind, but no. I thought she was good. I thought Woody Harrelson, because I knew a bit of the character in the book. He was kind of the drunk mentor, so I didn't know if he was just going to be 100% goofy, but I thought he handled his character well. I thought he was somewhat grounded, but also just, he was a good character. I thought he was unique, and I thought he played him well.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a nice setup for everything. I mean, the thing that I'm just so curious about is because, you know, like I said, the novel, the first one is pretty graphic, but they get significantly more intense and more graphic, and I don't know how you do the third one, PG-13. I just have no idea, but, you know, that's, you know, we got to wait a handful of years before we find that question out anyway, so...
Right, yeah. I think I read the second one is slated for a Thanksgiving release date, 2013.
Right, and they're doing four, you know, following the Harry Potter and Twilight.
Oh, they're splitting the last one into two parts?
I don't know. They're splitting the last one. They haven't confirmed it yet. They might split Catching Fire, which is the second book. If they were going to do any splitting, I think it would have to be the second book, because it's more rich than the third one.
Is the second book longer than the other ones?
A little bit. There's a lot more detail going on in the second one to me, and I feel like the second one is kind of like The Empire Strikes Back. Not just because it's the second film, it's just as far as darkness
goes a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. There's more stuff kind of. Again, don't want to give anything away. So.
Yeah. As for problems in the movie, I think the only thing is, I know you guys, I think, brought up the shaky cam. I think for me, it's just, granted, I sat in the fourth row when I went to go see the movie, but I still noticed it, and I think, I thought it was a lot nicer when they would just have, like, a static shot, and I think, I understand why they did it, and they wanted to cover up the violence and get the PG-13, but, I mean, I just, for me, it, like, especially during the fights, it almost got incomprehensible, so.
Yeah. Especially the end.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I mean, I get why they did it. I just the good thing about Gary Ross, though, well, at least I hope, is the fact that he does listen to fan criticism. He does listen. I mean, I know there's going to be so much more of it because it's such like a beloved series. But the shaky cam thing seems to be a lot of one of the bigger complaints. Mm-hmm. So maybe he cuts back on it in the next book.
Right.
Movie.
Yeah. And I just wanted to quickly mention, too, the only other real problem I had, and this is maybe because I am comparing it, this is one of the few, like, I read the beginning of the book, and then I just never got around to finishing it, but I found at least the beginning of the movie where they were, you know, setting it up in the district, and then they, you know, kind of set up the Hunger Games. At least for me, I thought specifically the first 10 minutes, I thought, felt a bit rushed. I think they could have developed the characters a bit more. I thought once they got to Capital City, it was a bit better, but I don't know. I think in the beginning they just kind of rushed through it and kind of wanted to get them to the games as fast as possible, because The Reaping, right? Isn't that the name of the, where they choose the, kids?
Yeah. Yeah, The Reaping.
I mean, that happens within, like, the first 5 to 10 minutes of the movie, and, so I don't know, I thought that would have been a bit nicer, but I, overall, though, I thought it was, you know, surprisingly, like, I was not expecting it to be as good as it was. I really enjoyed it, and, yeah, I'm excited for the next ones, and I think if this is going to be the next big teen phenomenon, it's miles better than something like Twilight and a lot of other stuff we're used to.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I did have a few problems with the movie. I had little tiny gripes that are kind of insignificant. I don't really want to bring them up, but I thought the movie was just a little anticlimactic, personally, and really the ending, it just didn't really leave me with any strong feelings of excitement or anything, really. I was just kind of on the fence with the ending. But I do want to stress that I did enjoy the movie a lot, and I think it's a really solid setup for what's to come, and I can't wait, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited, too.
I agree. I think that was the thing, though, too, Charlie, the fact that with the movie, that the ending, I think the anticlimactic thing actually works for it, because if they do, you know, movies 2, 3, and 4 well, then you'll go back and you'll watch 1, and it'll just be like one big movie.
Yeah, definitely. That's really true. What I meant when I said I was excited for what's to come.
Right.
But
but
for the moment, for the time being, I just kind of...
Yeah, it'll feel a bit more wholesome, kind of like if you were to watch now Harry Potter 7 parts 1 and 2 together.
Yeah.
It you're going to get the whole picture, so that'll be good.
But Jordan, what you were saying, though, too, you said that you thought that the first 10 minutes... was a little too rushed, no character development. I agree and disagree with that statement. I agree with the character development being rushed, but I don't think it was just the 10 minutes. I think it was the entire film.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I thought specifically, like, I thought once the game started, I thought it took it at a, like, kind of a nicer, kind of more realistic pace. Because, again, there's, like, kind of these long scenes of her walking through the forest, kind of just being on guard. But I thought that first 10 minutes, which is, you know, in a lot of movies, kind of where you want to set up these characters that you're going to follow.
Yeah.
I thought that for me was where it was most evident. And I thought once they got to Capital City, I thought it was still kind of there. Because they kind of compacted a lot of information into the first hour. You know, they bring up the idea about, like, sponsors and all this stuff that
right.
I think they didn't necessarily use fully. I thought they could have taken a bit more advantage of stuff like that. I mean, maybe they will in the next movies, but...
It's so much more relevant in the book than they made it at the end. And look, it's 2.5 hours, they fit what they could, but I think I'm not, and I've been saying this, I'm not a huge fan of voiceover normally in movies, but
right.
I think that this is a movie where it would have served it well, because in the book, you are so inside of her head, and she explains all the rules and what sponsors are, and in the books, they're all hungry. That's why it's called Hunger Games. Like, she finds water in this movie within like 10 seconds.
That's a good point.
It takes her a while to do it, and you're like, she's so desperate, and so you're with her the whole time because you're inside of her head going, this girl might starve to death.
Yeah.
I never feel she's going to starve to death ever in this movie, but... It's all nitpicky stuff, like, you know, Charlie said, we get into little things over and over again. The basis of it, I think that because of Jennifer Lawrence and what she did, she set it up really well. I'm excited to see Katniss and knowing where she's going to go, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and I think as far as the voiceover goes, I think Jennifer Lawrence is a good enough actress that she could have pulled it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
what it was, too, was the fact that, you know, Billy Ray is a screenwriter, and I'm not a fan of his, and they brought him in originally to write the first draft of this script, and apparently it was a flying piss bomb, and so they did some... Gary Ross got in there, and then they brought in Suzanne Collins.
Yeah, she co-wrote that, yeah.
And then they fixed it up, because Billy Ray is one of those screenwriters who's just like, don't even bring him in.
Yeah, maybe... Is he... writing the next ones, or is that not?
I think they you know, thanks for your work. Here's your check. Time comes to the premiere.
There you go. Yeah. So on like a 1 to 5, I'd give this a strong 4. I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed it, for sure.
I'm more of a 3.5. What would you give it on the Schmo scale?
Well, on our review, it's our longest review that we've done so far. It's a 13-minute review.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and I was conflicted throughout the whole thing. I almost went 3.5, but I ultimately wound up going with Jordan's score of 4 out of 5.
There you go. So yeah, check out The Hunger Games. It's in theaters now. It's making a lot of money, so add to that, because it's actually a good movie too. So
absolutely.
There you go. Next up, we're going to cover a few trailers. The first one up is Snow White and the Huntsman. This movie's coming out in the summer. It's just the second of the two Snow White movies we have coming out this year. The next one comes out next week, Mirror Mirror, but this is the darker, kind of grittier one. Charlize Theron plays the Queen. Kristen Stewart is Snow White. And this week, I guess, Charlie, you said you saw a five-minute reel at WonderCon that they released this week. I saw this in theaters in front of the Hunger Games. I only saw the 2.5-minute trailer, but so that's what I've seen. You've seen both, and I think, Christian, you said you saw the 5 minutes, too.
I've seen all of them, yeah.
Oh, you've seen all of them, too. Okay, good.
Yeah,
so,
I saw the 5 minute. I think I just watched it this morning. It's on YouTube now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll get on that eventually. Yeah, so first off, I guess, Charlie, what did you think of the 5 minutes and then the trailer overall and, kind of compare the two? What'd
sure,
you think?
Yeah. I thought the footage from, the 5 minute preview that we got, they showed it at WonderCon. They premiered the trailer after it. It had some things that got me interested, kind of. There are, the dwarves are played by these British actors.
Yeah.
That are pretty cool. You know, they aren't actually little people. They're, Nick Frost is in there.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very Ian McShane, I think. But anyways, I just that's kind of cool. And some of the more fantasy kinds of things in the 5 minute footage were a bit more interesting, I'd say. But the first teaser trailer for the movie, I wasn't a big fan of at all. I get that it's playing itself as Snow White with sort of a Lord of the Rings kind of epic sort of twist, and I have no problem with that. But it
Charlie, you're letting your Twilight hate get to you, man.
But I don't know. It never really got to me, and I'm not sure why. But this new trailer, definitely better. I'm still not completely hooked, I'll be honest. Like I said, the 5 minute thing had some little things that got me a bit more interested. But this is just one of those movies that, no matter how all right it looks, no matter how good it looks, the premise, it just isn't something that fully interests me, and I will see it for sure, like I said.
Yeah.
I'm just not fully hooked. It certainly looks better than Mirror Mirror, though, so I'll give it that.
The Three Stooges looks better than Mirror Mirror.
Yeah.
What do you think of the trailer, Christian?
I am on the opposite side of the fence than Mr. Charlie. I actually, from those two, when they announced that Mirror Mirror and The Huntsman were coming out, kind of going head-to-head against one another, I said to myself, I'm like, oh, man, I'm putting Chris Stewart in this thing is going to be awful. And then I saw the trailer. I like Tarsem. Tarsem is actually one of those directors that is so stylistic. I'm like, Mirror Mirror.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mirror Mirror is going to be the one that I'm going to like. And then I see these trailers. And, after wanting to shoot myself in the head with the Mirror Mirror one, I'm like, let me go check out the other one. And I was blown away by it. I do like that fantasy tone. And I like the serious way, and I think that Charlize Theron is coming off looking like a villain. Like, she's not, it's not that kind of super, super over the top. She looks like she could be one of these, a villain that you remember, you know what I mean? So it's like, and then I saw that 5 minute trailer, and it gets so much more in depth of why everything is happening, and mixing the fantasy with like the Lord of the Rings, like Charlie was saying before, but with this. The allure, the fantasy of the Snow White legend that we know. I like this tale. It seems to be this more kind of Grimm's Brothers stuff that they've been doing a lot more. I don't know. It's quickly becoming one of the more anticipated movies that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, just as a rule of thumb, I just personally have never been able to fully get behind a movie where, I mean, I guess it's technically fantasy here, but just kind of period piece action adventure kind of swashbuckling stuff has never been my personal cup of tea. But I mean, there is some good stuff in this trailer. I think you mentioned, Christian, I think Charlize Theron looks really good here.
Yeah, she was talking about actually at the panel how she loves to play the bitch, and she's really proud of her role in this movie, she said.
Yeah, she's good at it too, and I think that's a good point to bring up. I think it was, she looks grounded, like you were saying, Christian. She doesn't look like just really over the top like the Julia Roberts one from Mirror Mirror. Here, I think she's definitely got her moments, but I think she looks like she's kind of reserved, dialed back a bit. And I think she looks, for me, like what the best part of the movie is at this point. There are also some really cool visuals here. Like, there's some, I remember there was one shot where Charlize Theron, she's standing in the middle of this snowy forest, and she's wearing like a black dress, and then she turns into like this kind of flock of crows, like a really cool image. And there's a couple of things like that throughout the trailer. Kristen Stewart, you still don't really get a set. I mean, I didn't see the 5 minutes. I'm only referring to the 2.5 that I saw. But I still don't necessarily think she's like the greatest actress here. I don't think she looks like she's doing anything that different. And I don't know. I think overall
she frowns less.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I think she like physically like in the action scenes she looked like she was good. And I don't know. I thought the kind of the bleak tone looked kind of interesting. But I mean, I'm not 100% excited for this movie just because it's never. I mean, this kind of stuff doesn't excite me all that much. But I think for what it is, it looks good enough. I'll definitely see it. And yeah, Charlize Theron, like I said, looks really good in the role.
Yeah, I guess I'm just I'm just an optimist for this one. I think I just have a feeling that it's going to be really good. Like, and I do. I think you see a lot more from the trailer in the 5-minute trailer.
That, yeah, which I will definitely go and watch now to compare with the other stuff.
I definitely want this movie to surprise me, so I'm definitely in and I will see it. But so far, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page as Charlie, but it's coming out, I believe, like early June. It releases, so yeah, it'll be out then. Another movie coming out in June is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. We talked a little bit, Charlie, when you went to WonderCon. They showed some footage, and they had a second trailer release last weekend. I also saw this one in front of the Hunger Games when I went to go see it, and yeah, just a brief, I mean, I don't think you need any more plot than Abraham Lincoln is killing vampires, so, Christian, what do you think of the new trailer for Abraham Lincoln?
I like it, I'm interested, I just wish somebody would get in a DeLorean and go get Abraham Lincoln and stick him and go after Bella and the rest of those
streets. There you go, that would be, yeah.
But, the trailer itself, I'm curious, I mean, because it has a big hurdle, because the title is so silly.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring that up, because when I went to see this in theaters, the crowd seemed to be mildly into it. I went to a midnight crowd, so they were kind of a bit more lively than your average one. And, like, when that title popped up, everybody just ripped up into laughter and just couldn't take it seriously, so.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is that it's where you're going to have this, it's going to be, it can be like one of these really fun movies that you just say, oh man, if it's great, if it's a good movie, people are going to laugh and they'll say, well, what did you see this weekend? Abraham Lincoln Vampire. And they're like, get out of here. And like, man, it was great, I'm telling you.
Yeah, at the panel, I mentioned this in the last episode, but the movie supposedly, it plays itself straight and it commits to its crazy premise and it just doesn't let up. It's relentless. And that could either be perfect or it could end up taking itself just way too seriously. And that could be a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should take it seriously. I think from the tone, I think if you get too silly, you turn into Van Helsing.
That's a good point. I don't know, though, for me with this trailer, and this is kind of my issue with the first one, I think some shots of it look cool, and I think, I think it looks interesting. I've always been kind of interested in this movie just based on that title alone. I don't know, I think the serious tone for me isn't really working. I think for me there's like a limit of it being a bit too dark. This looks like it's kind of going into that. I do think Benjamin Walker is the guy who plays Abe Lincoln. He not only looks like him, I think he looks good in the role. Like at the beginning he's delivering like a speech and you buy it. It's like they kind of had a bit of audio before they showed like him speaking with like kind of the visuals with the audio, and like he sounds like you buy him in the role, and so I thought,
that's just getting me more excited to see Daniel Day-Lewis. And as I mentioned in the last episode, I'd love to see Daniel Day-Lewis do
Killing
Lincoln.
The vampires. Yeah.
Well, the novel was pretty dark though too, Jordan.
Right. Yeah. I haven't read the novel, but I don't know. Like I think too with the trailer, and I mean, I guess good that they're shying away from revealing stuff. I think. It's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. They haven't really shown the vampires that much, so I think at this point for me, it doesn't look like it's all that unique in terms of, I mean, other than the fact that it's Abraham Lincoln, I don't think it looks like a really unique action movie yet. I do think there's some really cool shots. I think there's some interesting ideas, but I mean, I don't know, I'm not 100% into it. I do like, which I forget the guy's name who directs it. It's like some really long name.
Beckman.
The guy who did Wanted. And I really enjoy Wanted on like kind of a fun, over-the-top action movie, like on that level. And that's kind of what I wanted from this, but yeah. I don't know if I'm really getting that now.
And the style of the director, I just want to say, in the footage they showed at the panel and in this trailer, is very present. You know, he directed Wanted.
That's true.
Reminiscent of Wanted. A lot of slow motion, a lot of jumping around. And I just think it looks really cool, and the 3D that they showed at, I got to see the trailer in 3D.
Oh, cool.
At WonderCon, and it looks pretty good. It wasn't half that bad, so.
That's good.
And I can also say that the vampires,
do they show more?
Not very memorable, but, you know, kind of creepy, kind of loud.
I think for me how, at least at this point, I think it's going to end up similar to something like Cowboys and Aliens, where it has, like, that title alone gets you interested, even if it, like, could be the worst movie ever. It still, like, gets your attention, and that concept could be good, but I think ultimately that movie wasn't all that memorable, and I thought just kind of fell into a lot of generic slumps. I don't think this will be quite that bad, because it looks like it's got some style to it, and I think it looks like Benjamin Walker is good in, as Abe Lincoln, but I think it's a bit more, sounds better on paper than it does seeing the movie, but I'm hoping it's good. It comes out in the summer, and it's one I'm more interested in than other summer movies coming out in the next couple months, so yeah, Abraham Lincoln, it comes out, I think, is it June 22nd is what the release
yes,
date?
I think so.
Yeah, so it comes out then. Again, if you guys want to find any of the trailers that are that we discussed today, head over to our website, moviefiles.podomatic.com, the word movie, the word files, .podomatic.com. Under the notes and links section of the episode, you'll find the links to the Snow White and the Abraham Lincoln trailer. So click there and you'll be able to watch them too. Yeah. All right, so last up on the episode, it's about the quarter mark in the year. It's technically, I guess, next weekend would mark it, but we're almost 3 months into the year, and a lot of movies have come out, a lot of memorable movies, a lot of ones we don't want to remember, but that'd be kind of fun to go through our biggest surprises, biggest disappointments, and best and worst movies of the year overall so far. So we've had a lot of stuff, and I think we're just going to we each picked one that we're going to put in each category, so...
Yeah.
Which one are we doing first?
Let's go for biggest surprise. And Christian, you have yours up?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
The biggest surprise for me was The Gray.
Oh yeah.
Because I, you know, when you see anytime you see a trailer with Liam Neeson, now it doesn't matter what he's doing, you think, oh, it's just like Taken. He could be doing a Starbucks commercial. Oh, it's just like Taken. And so when this happened, and I like Joe Carnahan when he's doing, like, the smaller films. You talk about sound design. We were talking about...
Yeah, this movie, yeah, definitely with the sound design is great.
So good. And, you know, we actually just had the Ian McKenzie Jeffers, who wrote both the novel and the screenplay. We just had him on the podcast.
Right, I listened to that. Yeah, it was a really good interview with him.
He was, I mean, just listening to how he came up with it and everything, too, and how rich the character was, and I think I wasn't expecting that when I saw the movie. I didn't know what to expect, and I was just blown away by that movie, and it's still probably it's probably my favorite of the year so far, just because it was, emotionally, it didn't rely on anything except this guy's, the way survival and how rich in character and great acting performances. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's not my biggest surprise, and it's definitely, I think, it was beaten out for my best movie of the year by another movie, but it's definitely my, like, a close number two, and I really enjoyed The Gray also. It's definitely one of the, I mean, you talk about something that's coming out in January. I mean, Liam Neeson releases something around this time every year, and, you know, it's usually better than a lot of other January movies, but still, it's, you know, nothing that memorable, but, yeah, this
I
was...
I think I answered the wrong question. I answered about my favorite movie of the year so far, and not your surprise. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. I guess we can do that at the top, then. But, yeah, I really enjoyed the Gray as well. I thought it was not... I mean, I was surprised, too, that it came out in January, and it was so good.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, Charlie, what's your best movie so far?
My best movie of 2012 so far is Chronicle. I really loved Chronicle, and I was just, it was just such a refreshing movie, and the characters were just so good, the acting was really good, and I thought they just did such cool things with the found footage, you know, way of shooting a movie. I just thought it was very well done, and I was completely satisfied with it, and it was just a really exciting time when I saw it, and I just have a great memory of seeing that movie, so I really love that movie a lot.
Yeah, it was a really good movie, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed Chronicle very much.
Yeah, and it's interesting, that's actually my number three of the year, but again, and my number one pick is, I've been kind of wrestling with it in my mind if I want to put this in number one or The Gray, but I think at this point, my favorite movie of the year so far is Jeff Who Lives at Home. I really enjoyed that movie a lot. I think the Duplass brothers wrote and directed the film with such a nice kind of sense of realism and authentic, with authentic characters, and I thought the acting, it's with especially Jason Segel and Ed Helms, I think some of their best work I've seen from them ever, and I thought they had a good balance between comedy and drama with their performances, and overall I thought they kind of found nice little niches in real life that we are dramatic or comedic, and I thought they put that into the movie really well. I thought just overall, it felt like I was watching just a real, like, just a day taking place in real life, just watching things happen at in a natural pace. I thought the finale of the film, which I won't spoil, but takes place on this bridge, and the final shot, how everything wraps up, I was just really impressed by it. I really loved the movie. I don't think it'll end up on my top 10 of the year at the end of the year, but for now, I was really impressed by it, and I really enjoyed it. But The Gray and Chronicle are really good, too. They're close runners-up.
And Jeff Who Lives at Home is my number two.
Number two. Year. There you go.
See, I like Jeff Who Lives at Home. I do like the ending. I put it in probably like top 10 right now.
Yeah.
but it's a good movie, for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that a lot. I guess next we can go biggest surprise of the year. And Charlie, what is your biggest surprise right now?
My biggest surprise of the year is Chronicle. I was expecting it to be good, maybe. Well, not even good. I was expecting it to be one of those movies that not everybody likes and critics don't like it too much, but that I just go crazy over because I love superheroes and a found footage superhero
found footage,
movie.
Yeah.
Right up my alley. That just sounds so cool. And I was blown away, and so were critics, and it was just one of the biggest surprises that comes to mind this year so far. I love that movie, like I said.
Yeah, I'll point out too, that is my biggest surprise as well. Yeah, for me, I don't know about you, Christian, I thought the trailers really didn't impress me all that much. I thought it looked kind of like just a typical dispensable, you know, throwaway teen movie that, you know, we'll probably forget about by the end of the year. But I was impressed by how well they developed the characters. And
yeah.
I think not only for a teen movie, I think for movies in general, granted, you know, let alone as being in February, but I thought the acting was surprisingly good. I liked how the story built, you know, the entire time. I thought it had a nice build up. And then by the end, I thought the finale was so rewarding and really pays off. And it's got a great climax. I really enjoyed Chronicle.
I didn't care for the trailer at all. And
Yeah,
it was one of those things like, oh, it's a found footage movie this time with superheroes. And then when I went to see it, I was like, that movie was awesome. I mean, it did so much cool stuff, and just the way it's set up. And I they're setting it up obviously for a sequel. And if they do a sequel, I think that they had the opportunity to make it like more of like you can go into an actual feature film and not a found footage this time. I just hope keep banking off the found footage thing because they set up their characters pretty well and it was a nice origin story.
I thought I kind of agree too. I think Charlie, when you and I reviewed the movie, I was kind of wrestling with whether the found footage was actually necessary because they did do some really interesting stuff with the found footage, like as far as the telekinesis and the kind of the cool shots they got there. But overall, some shots I thought just could have been a standard movie and they could have maybe spliced the found footage in, but. So it'll be interesting, I guess, where they go next with the characters. And I'm interested, too, just in general, what the director and these actors do next.
Yeah.
Really good. What's your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise is one that just came out last week, and that was 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah. That's up there for me, too.
21 Jump Street, you talk about a movie that I just said, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah.
And then when I've never been a huge Jonah Hill, and I'm not doing, that's not a fat joke. I've never been a big Jonah Hill fan. And, you know, Moneyball, he kind of won me over. And then
yeah.
I was like, let's see what skinny Jonah Hill can do. And I went and I saw the movie, and I was dying laughing. The first half of that movie is so funny. And then the second half, I'm like, oh, this isn't that funny anymore. I'm like, but wait, it's a pretty good action comedy right now.
Yeah.
So, like, even though it dropped off from being super funny, it still kept me entertained. And I thought, you know, I always get his name wrong, so I could just call him Chatting Chat Chat. he always is, like, hit or miss. He was fantastic in the movie, and that's the most surprising thing that anyone will ever say. So,
yeah.
So I mean, it was a lot of fun, and I thought that's one, it didn't take themselves too seriously. It was tongue-in-cheek. It was just a blast, and they had fun doing it. And it wasn't one of those things like these 80s TV show remakes that was just pure 80s remake. It was like a playoff of it, if anything else, you know? So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I was surprised at that movie too, definitely based on the trailers. And I think this is easily the best I've ever seen Channing Tatum, definitely.
Absolutely.
For sure. And I feel like I was a part of the, you know, crowd that actually had high expectations from the beginning with 21 Jump Street. So I wouldn't really classify it as a surprise. Because I did have high hopes from the beginning.
Wow, look at you.
There you go. Yeah.
You're like Nostradamus over there.
Yeah, but it's a really good movie, so I definitely enjoyed it. I think at this point it's the funniest movie I've seen so far this year, and I think it's going to be hard to top it in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with a surprise definitely comes disappointments, and I'll go first on this one. I mean, we just talked about comedies with 21 Jump Street, and without a doubt, for me, I know some people enjoyed it, Project X is my biggest disappointment. I went into this movie wanting to laugh a lot and have fun, but I felt the comedy here was really lazy. I thought all of the humor relied on either drugs, alcohol, sex, or profanity in really lazy ways. And like, I think in this day and age with like 21 Jump Street, there was a great script in that movie, and there was kind of nice things that kind of play with the audience's expectations with certain jokes. This is just like by the numbers, just stuff we've come to expect from comedies. I thought the characters weren't that likable, especially Costa, who I couldn't stand him within the first minute of the movie, and he didn't get any better. I thought, especially with him, provided for a lot of the lack of laughs that I got, like a lot of missed jokes that felt uncomfortable. And for me, the biggest issue, too, is that the party gets too over the top and mean-spirited to actually enjoy. I think by the end, it kind of just left me cold. Again, I know some people enjoyed it, but it really wasn't for me. So I don't know. I hope Todd Phillips does something better in the future, but I was not a fan of Project X.
No, neither was I. And that's actually my pick as well for biggest disappointment. I just thought it was extremely lazy. I didn't really think it was all that funny. And, you know, part of the reason why I did enjoy it to some extent was because I saw it with a big group of people in my grade, and we all, you know, had fun, I guess. And actually, as I mentioned before, somebody in my grade actually had a small role in the movie. So that was kind of fun seeing him. But other than that, I didn't really have a lot of fun with the movie, and I just thought all the humor was lazy. I thought I didn't buy their friendship at all. I didn't, I didn't like any of the characters. Just, I thought it was just really lame. And at this point, it's just, there's so much that I thought was done wrong with the movie that it's just, who cares? Whatever.
I'm a loner, Dottie. I'm a rebel because I actually enjoyed the movie. I'm just like, and I agree with you guys. It's not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but I was like, when it started, I said, you know what? I am at a party right now, and there's not going to be a lot of big character development, but I'm going to end up drunk and watch this thing. And I understand all your points are valid, and I get it, but I'm just on the opposite side of it to where I thought I had a blast and thought it was so stupid. I enjoyed it.
I do agree. I think the first half hour where they were just at school setting up the party was just kind of unbearable. I agree. I think once the party kicked in, it got a little better for me, but I don't know, it just didn't fully come together. But
right. You just wanted more. My most disappointed movie was Joyful Noise. I'm kidding. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was the movie. I didn't have a lot of expectation for that. I didn't even see the movie. So.
No. I mean, I think everyone knew what that was going to be from the second they said Dolly Parton. My most disappointing movie right now is Safe House.
Yeah,
because it's Denzel, and I like it, and I still think Ryan Reynolds was great in the role. I like, because, you know, sometimes when normally Ryan Reynolds, when he's in movies, you know, from a scale of 1 to 10, is at like an 80. So it was nice to see him at like, you know, a 7.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Safe House. It takes place in a safe house for like maybe 10 minutes. The movie itself, I felt, was kind of like all over the place. And, you know, I mean, it's a very successful movie, one of the most successful. A lot of people dug it, but I thought it was like kind of a Tony Scott ripoff. And
It was in the top five for a while, right?
I think it kept making it. It just kept making money. It was like one where it was like number two where it debuted, and then it came back. It was number one. And I think it was like that and The Vow were the first $200 million movies this year.
And I think The Vow at this point, both The Vow and Safe House are like, I mean, The Hunger Games isn't, you know, it hasn't finished its run yet. But at this point, I think both of those movies have grossed over $120 million and are like number two, number three at the in the domestic box office for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, after this weekend, they'll be, like you said, like 2 and 3. But still, the fact that January or February movies that they did as well as they did. But, like, I just, you know, I thought Denzel was fine. He's Denzel. You know, he's great.
Yeah.
But it just, I just thought it was a little too full of itself, to be honest. But, you know, a lot of people dug it, and that's cool. But that is my most disappointing of the year thus far. I'm sure we'll get a whole bunch more out in May and June.
Right, yeah. I mean, both Charlie and I reviewed this. For me, I kind of agree. I mean, I didn't hate the movie, but I agree. I thought it just was really kind of by the numbers. Like, we've seen so many movies like this. I thought it was really standard, and you're right. It's kind of like a Bourne, Tony Scott ripoff.
Yeah, and you know who the bad guy's going to be from the second.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got your typical twist that, you know, you can see coming. So, yeah, I think both of us were just really underwhelmed by it.
Really, if there was one word to describe the movie, it'd be safe. Like, that's it.
Yeah, Shithouse is safe.
Yeah.
And I guess that can transition us into our worst film of the year so far. Christian, what's your pick?
Worst movie so far of the year? I already mentioned it in my joke, and that would be Joyful Noise.
There you go.
I never as badly wished that the theater I was in was going to collapse with me inside of it. It was painful. It was just jokes were bad, acting was bad. It was like someone saying, "Oh, you know what's really popular right now is that Glee. Let's get a bunch of 175-year-olds and do Glee." and you just sit there and it's like, oh, you just feel like the pain. I mean, I would rather be in the Hunger Games than watch this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, luckily, I did not see it.
I did not see it.
Lucky. Bro, what's your pick?
My pick for worst would, well, technically it'd be a tie between Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance and The Devil Inside, but if I had to pick one, it would be The Devil Inside. I just, this movie doesn't do anything right, in my opinion. It is just terrible, and I would love to talk about it in depth, but I can't remember a thing. I literally just can't. You know,
and there's no ending.
Man, it hasn't been an ending that good since Sixth Sense.
Yeah, and it's funny that you can talk about it in depth because it's a forgettable and there's no substance at all in the movie.
Yeah, zero. I just thought it was terrible, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring up the Ghost Rider and Devil Inside because those are my top two worst movies of the year so far. But for me, I went Ghost Rider. That's my worst movie of the year so far. And granted, I didn't see every movie that came out. Like you talk about Joyful Noise, I dodged that one. I don't typically go and see everything. I missed the Underworld movie that was supposedly awful, but I really, Ghost Rider 2, I think the best word I can use to describe it is messy. I mean, the movie is a mess. Like, it felt like some scenes, like tonally, some scenes were goofy, crazy Nick Cage fest, while others were serious and kind of the plot was more important to them. Like, there's a scene where Nick Cage is talking to Idris Elba about his father and his backstory. It's like a good 5-minute scene. And I'm thinking, who came to Ghost Rider 2 for this scene? Like, and that's the thing, too. I went in wanting to have, like, a good, fun Nick Cage time, but I think so much, there's so much just all over the place in this movie. I thought Nick Cage, at least part of the time, seemed to know what movie he was in, but other times he didn't. I thought
you're being really nice.
Yeah, well, it's funny too because I think every other actor in the movie seemed like they were making a whole different movie altogether. Like every actor seemed to be on like a different planet. I thought the script, story wise, I thought made no sense by the end. And I know Neville Dean Taylor, they have this shaky cam, gritty style, which, you know, I know they risk their lives to get certain shots, which is kind of a cool attitude towards filmmaking, but I think here, you know, it's gritty and shaky, but the main thing in the shot is, like, a CG-created skull, which is, like, a joke. It's a cartoon, so I don't think it was gritty at all. I thought it was just bad and just a mess. So I really did not like Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to argue with you there.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, and I feel like this is one, by the end of the year, it will still make my top 10 worst list. Maybe my top 5. I'm not sure, but it's really bad.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Well, Three Stooges hasn't come out yet, boys.
There you go. Yeah. Don't know if I will make the trek out to see that, but there you go. I guess that about takes care of episode 11 of the Movie Files podcast. Again, our website is moviefiles.podomatic.com. The word movie, the word files, .podomatic.com. Leave comments. Go to iTunes and rate the show. Subscribe to us there. We have a Facebook page in the notes section under the episodes. You can go like us on Facebook. And again, follow us on Twitter at Movie Files Show. Christian, thank you so much for being on the show today. You have a YouTube and you guys have the Twitter. Where can we find all things Schmoes?
Yeah, you can go to youtube.com/schmoesknow, SCHMOESKNOW. Same thing at Twitter, at schmoesknow. And check us out, our podcast on iTunes, the Schmoesknow podcast. We just did a whole Hunger Games one with Catherine.
I saw that. This weekend, again, in wide release, the only thing out we had was The Hunger Games, and I'll read all these limited movies quick. We had 444, The Last Day on Earth, Break, which is the movie with, was it Stephen Dorff? That Charlie, you're going to review next week. You saw The Deep Blue Sea, Losing Control, Musical Chairs, October Baby, The Raid Redemption, which both of us have seen and we'll cover next week, Starry Starry Night, and The Trouble with Bliss. A lot of those are just kind of unknowns. I actually realized we forgot to plug our own stuff, Charlie, you and me. Charlie, you're on YouTube and blog and Twitter. Where can we find your stuff?
Of course, yeah. You can find my video movie reviews on youtube.com/notcharlesmorse, NotCharlesMorse. And I have a blog. Like I say, in every episode, this is just something to plug. I'm not on it too much, but why not? Movie reviews by charlie.blogspot.com. It's where I started doing reviews,
there
you go. It's just up there.
Brandon, Tron, we got to see the next Tron.
For anybody who doesn't know, I met the schmoes at a Tron Legacy screening, so we have some history.
We'll always have Tron.
And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I'll update you on my blog or anything there at Morse Reviews.
I'm on youtube.com/ronet, ronet. I do movie reviews and a bunch of things there. I also have a blog, ronet.wordpress.com, ronet.wordpress.com. I do written reviews and box office reports and other things that I write about. And I'm on Twitter at ronetreview, ronet, and the word review. This Tuesday on DVD, we have some great titles, and I mean that sarcastically. We have Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked.
Yes!
We have Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Oh.
We have In the Land of Blood and Honey, the Angelina Jolie movie, which I feel like nobody saw. Like,
Catherine Reitman actually said it was fantastic. I never saw it, though, but she said it was great.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll check that out then. Some other movies you probably haven't heard of: Air Collision, Eureka, Season 4.5, the TV show, and South Park, the complete 15th season. That's a lot of seasons. But our DVD pick of the week here, I guess I should have consulted you before, Christian, but I don't know, have you seen A Dangerous Method? I have not seen that, but I know, Charlie, you liked it, didn't love it.
Maybe not even liked it. It was all right.
Let's just say it's better than Shipwrecked and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, probably. So.
Yes, definitely. I would agree and approve that, and if you were going to buy anything, I'd say,
Method. Well, but you should know, though, if you're going to buy something for your kids and go, what should I catch, like A Dangerous Method or Chipmunks? I think you're going to go with Chipmunks.
Yeah, or I think the best option is to save your money for a future week, so.
And also, Hop came out.
Last Friday, Hop came out. I don't know why they released it so late, but.
Yeah, holiday movies tend to do that, like A Christmas Carol, I think, did it. They released it the next Christmas.
But... Yeah, because Hop came out around Easter last year, and it's opening on DVD around Easter now.
And I haven't even seen that movie, but if you were going to get something for your kids, I'd say get that and not Chipwreck.
Granted, I haven't seen either of those, but.
Yeah, and have no interest, so.
Yeah. So, next week on the show, we're going to have Tyler Christian from Cali Critic Reviews is coming back. We're going to cover Wrath of the Titans, Mirror Mirror. Yeah, I guess he is seeing, and I don't know if I'll see that.
I'm not going to see Mirror Mirror either.
I don't know.
It's going to be like when he saw This Means War. He might have a solo review.
He'll be the only guy brave enough to go see that. Yeah. We're also going to cover The Raid Redemption from this week. Charlie's going to review Break. And I guess you and Tyler both saw Goon, the Sean William Scott movie. So maybe a review of that.
Did I do that on the podcast yet?
No.
Okay.
There we go. Live planning. But anyway, until next time, I'm Jordan.
And I'm Charlie.
And I'm me.
There we go. And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you later. Bye.